Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October sky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and yeah, you know, I looked for him. I finally found him. My good friend, Jeff Sika from Circle Square Adults. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Jeff.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for having me back. It's truly an honor to be on with you. I'm being honest with you. It's a great opportunity, and thank you.
Well, we love having you on because, you know, you do have a great opinion, and I've caught you on a couple of the Fox spots where you warned about what things may happen and what's going to go on here. But so let's talk about, first of all, you and I are both from the same school that we feel that the markets are a little frothy, and there's been really a little bit of a lack of growth in the overall picture, and things aren't quite as rosy as everybody would like you to think. What do you say?
Well, it is. I mean, I think we get hit with these distractions that put investors in this mindset that if we could only get past the European debt crisis, if we could only get past the debacle that's going on in Greece, then it's going to be smooth sailing, and that is not the case. What I've said continually, actually I've been saying it for a couple years now, is that quick fixes, whether it comes to Greece or Europe or China or the economic situation in the U.S. will only last for a limited period of time, and then there's going to be a day of reckoning, and then there's going to be a point where reality is going to become more obvious, and I believe we're at that point, and investors have to plan accordingly.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that you do at Circle Squared as a regular entree to what you do. I mean, this is the way that you manage money your entire life. I mean, you've got a long history career, you know, starting with Wells Fargo into Seek Wealth Management, and now Circle Square Dells actually becoming the advisor's advisor. And you always suggest, first of all, you've coined the phrase the endowment model. I mean, that's kind of what you build it off after. And we know that we're not going to be a beneficiary of all the gigantic moves either way, but the key is to as they say, the tortoise and the hare, the slow and steady win the race, right?
Yeah, I think, well, one thing we do at Circle Squared, which we're advocates of investors looking to invest this way, no matter what type of investor you are, whether you're an endowment or an individual investor, is to look at alternative ways to invest that are not only, that have the potential to protect your downside while still participating in an upside. And it's not necessarily that we're contrarians, but because of the dominance of the big institutions out there, the big investment firms and banks that are advocating the modern portfolio theory, which we think is going to be passé in a very, very, if it's not, we think it's already passé, where you're investing a certain percentage of your assets in stocks and a certain percentage in bonds, and alternatives are an afterthought. We think we're going to see that script flip, and we're going to see a much greater emphasis on alternatives as the endowments are involved in them and have profited and benefited immensely for decades on using these alternative strategies. We're looking to get investors to think a different way and to think about the real economy in a way that they might not have thought about it. Instead of this buy and hold, modern portfolio theory driven model, to think of things much in the way that endowments have always thought of them, and benefit no matter what happens in the market. I mean, I think it's a sad state of affairs that the only time you're going to benefit is when markets go up. Is when markets go up and everything's status quo. If you're investing that way, you're never going to get ahead. If you're not investing for what's around the corner, you're going to spend all your time regretting the decisions you've made and wishing you could go back and do something different. We're saying do something different now, and everything is cyclical in nature, and you'll be far better off going forward.
Well, I mean, I find the new model grotesque myself. I mean, I think that they're leading investors down the primrose path. I believe that every portfolio should be hedged. You want to stay in the equity market? I have no problem. Stay in equities, but learn how to hedge that equity portfolio, you know, using options so that you have a defense to the downside. But also explore the other alternative investments because, again, as you know, And you were one of the first ones to pick up this in 08 was, you know, what about real estate? What about some of the other areas that you can go into? Because, again, the key to investing is exactly what it says. If you look at it in the dictionary, you're investing for a goal in a long-term future. And by just sitting there buying the SPY and hoping that it maintains its run-up, which we know is basically a mathematical impossibility. We know that there's going to be a correction at some point. Whether it's going to come, who knows? But I find the model disgusting because I think that, you know, we find too many people that end up, you know, losing too much money when you don't have to lose that much money. And the bottom line is even with the markets up near here near record highs, people aren't making as much as they think they're making anyways because there's a lot of the divergence going on. What do you think about that?
I agree, and I think what's tragic about this, and I, you know, I've said it continually, and I know you say it continually. I mean, you're one of the voices out there that's been pounding the table on hedging. It's this element of human nature that believes, when it comes to investing, that believes that there's going to be something instinctive or something indicative of a market top. And I think when you abandon that whole idea and investors stop thinking that there's going to be some sort of bell that rings at the top of the market, all of a sudden you start thinking differently, and it no longer becomes, let me try to predict when this is going to end, but let me do something now, today, in order to protect myself. And when you value the money that you've worked hard to accumulate, you no longer take the risk of trying to be right. Because there's too many factors to be able to predict the markets 100%. You have no control over what the market's going to do day to day. And the illusion of being able to control the market and find the market top and use asset allocations and change asset allocations to benefit from peaks and troughs in markets is unrealistic. What we look at is we look at abandoning the whole element of trying to, the whole philosophy of trying to pick market tops, peaks and troughs, and instead invest in such a way that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when the market is going to peak. It doesn't matter if it peaks in 3 months or in 6 months or tomorrow. And it doesn't matter how far the trough is going to go. What matters is you're being proactive in your investment strategy and you're investing in such a way that you don't have to be right all the time. You could be wrong, and you could be early, because you don't have to try to accomplish the impossible, which is guess what's going to happen one day to the next.
And that is 100% correct. And I am one of the best chart readers, and I have lost more money trying to pick tops and bottoms. I say it honestly here. You're listening to The Bubba Show. I am on with my friend, Jeff Sika. He came back to me finally. I missed him, but he does have one of the best overall opinions in the market, but he's really, as I like to call him, the advisor's advisor, CircleSquaredAlts.com. You got to check out the site, whether you're looking for a spot to invest or you're an advisor yourself. He's the guy. I'm telling you, you got to check out Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alts. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more from Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alts. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Jeff Sika, from CircleSquaredAlts.com. The advisor's advisor, my friend, and I'm proud to call my friend because he's one of the smartest guys in the business. So, Jeff, you know, we talked about a little bit in the first segment about how, you know, people get trapped into these things, and everybody's into the, you know, the ETFs. That's the new thing, the new breed of investor. Just buy ETFs and forget about it. And of course, as we look and we see what's going on, and of course, on Sunday night, the last two Sunday nights in a row, we had bad news out of Greece, and the markets, you know, kind of tanked, and then they kind of rallied back, and they really haven't gone down. But in your mind, in my mind, the markets are searching for a reason to sell off. Now, they haven't found that yet. Do you believe that Greece could be the reason that would force a correction to this market, or is Greece just a pimple on the you-know-what of society?
Well, keep in mind, and I think you've talked about this constantly, which hopefully your listeners are paying attention to what you're saying, because momentum is the name of the game. And like I said in the beginning of the show, was that there's this misconception that there's some sort of magic bullet for Europe and for most of the issues that are affecting the market and creating the volatility. The fact is, there's a systemic problem in Europe, which has everything to do with debt and leverage, and that debt and leverage is going to have a long-term corrosive effect on the economy and on the banking system in Europe. So anybody who thinks or justifies bullishness by the perception that the European debt crisis is going to be solved by, for example, the European Central Bank, I think is kidding themselves. I think what investors have got to start paying attention to is they have to start looking at what the worst case scenario is going to be here, and whether or not the worst case scenario unfolds, they have to invest accordingly. And the worst case scenario does not involve anything. The worst case scenario involves massive debt write-offs and does not involve any quick fix solution. So in the case of Europe, there is only one way that Europe is going to deal with their debt problem, and that's to begin to write off debt for countries like Greece and, unfortunately, Spain, Portugal, Italy. Big numbers. And my concern, and what's going to have a ripple effect throughout the markets, is when Mario Draghi made the comment that the European Central Bank would do whatever it takes to save the European Union, a lot of the financial institutions, especially in Europe, but really throughout the world, took him at his word. And there's a lot of derivative exposure and a lot of leverage in the European debt market that needs to be unwound going forward. Whether that crashes the market or not remains to be seen, but you can mark my words, it is going to be ugly, because there's been too much optimism in Europe and too much optimism in the banking system to be able to deal with this. But I don't think it's going to be just Europe. I think there's enough pain coming from the U.S., China, and eventually Japan that we're going to start to see what's indicative of a perfect storm, where a number of factors converge, and we're going to see the lack of economic growth, the lack of earnings revenue growth to support these valuations where they are. Now, the one aspect of the market that I think it's important for investors to realize is how much of these asset valuations have been created by low interest rates. The one thing I think the bulls have on their side is that with all this turmoil in Europe and China, I think the Fed is going to be very reluctant to raise rates. I don't think we're going to see rates increase this year and maybe at some point into next year, but they're going to use the excuse of Europe and China to keep from raising rates. They don't want to rock the boat, and all the bulls that have counted on artificially low interest rates have something else to hope for.
Well, I mean, I've said repeatedly on this show that, first of all, Janet Yellen doesn't have the guts to raise the rates, as Ben Bernanke didn't have the guts before her. And the biggest problem is they're now getting an excuse to not to raise rates, because that's the hard decision that has to be made here. Because the bottom line is, you talk about the trouble in Europe and you talk about the trouble in Greece, but when you have central bank manipulation throughout the world, and you have China continuing to try to keep up with everybody, and they're lowering rates, and everybody's lowering rates, you create a mess when you get involved. Again, I don't think there's a perfect economic theory, whether it be Keynesian or Austrian, but I do know one thing for sure. Okay, you cannot keep kicking the can down the road. You cannot keep pushing to the side the trouble. You have to, at one some point in time, face the troubles and move, and that's the problem, and that's why this market will end up collapsing again someday. And again, look, we know year over year it goes up, and that's, you know, always been everybody's argument with me is, why are you bearish? And I go, well, I'm bearish because I don't see the growth. I don't see the velocity of money. I don't see things taking the way they should go here. And what do you see? Do you see any money flow here? Do you see any real earnings?
No, I think, and that's, you know, what's going to come out of all this, and the reason why I've stayed bullish, I mean bearish. I mean, guys like you and I, we take it on the chin from the bulls when things are going the right way. But in reality, we're the smart ones here, because we're not sitting here and saying that the market doesn't have the ability to go up. We're saying that the fundamentals don't support the market to being where it is, and we invest accordingly. We're anticipating a fall where a lot of the bulls out there are anticipating that these recent market advances are going to last forever. I don't see the fundamentals to support the valuations of stocks where they are now. What I see is that low interest rates, low borrowing costs have created an artificial environment, have distorted asset prices. When you have companies going out borrowing money and using that money to purchase back their own shares in record numbers, and you have companies borrowing very, very inexpensive money, and that money is filtering into revenue, one thing that becomes very obvious is either these companies are going to take on unlimited amounts of debt, they're going to dry up the liquidity of their own stocks, and then when we do have an unforeseen market event that creates the scenario of a large percentage of investors running to the door as they did in 2008, we're going to have problems there. So I don't see the growth. I don't see the revenue. I don't see the earnings. What I see is extremely low expectations fueled by low and growth fueled by low borrowing costs. You take the low borrowing costs out of the picture and you have a very, very ugly environment, and I think that's what we have on the horizon. The fact it's taken this long is somewhat surprising, but you know, the longer a market stays in an artificial environment, the greater the vulnerability when that ends. So we have to be aware that it's not a matter of the market's going to go down tomorrow. We don't know that. But it's a matter of the vulnerability that these artificially low interest rates in an economy that the government tells us improving, but you look around, you do not see an improving economic environment. You know that this market cannot sustain these types of returns with expectations being where they are. They just can't.
You are 100% right, and I could not agree with you more. And I've been on this bandwagon. Unfortunately, I missed a little bit of this, but I don't care. You know, what people don't seem to understand is, because my long-term portfolio is hedged, I'm championing a sell-off, but if it keeps going up, I'm still making money in my IRA and in my other stuff because I know how to hedge it off correctly. And that's where people miss the boat, is learning how to hedge. But we're going to have to step by here for a break. I am with my friend, Jeff Sika from Circle Square Adults. Always love having him on the show. I wish I could have him on more, but I love to get him when I can because, again, he brings a sense of calm to an overall crazy world. This is Jeff Sika, Circle Square Adults. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. We'll be right back after the break. Like on a Jupiter
and Mars. Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with my friend Jeff Sika, CircleSquaredAlts.com. You got to check it out whether you're just an investor or whether you're an advisor, because my man is the advisor's advisor. Again, 30 years of experience going back all the way back to his days at Wells Fargo. Became really a giant in the industry. And again, one of the smartest guys I know when it comes to this kind of stuff. So, Jeff, you know, we look at the picture and I talk about hedging, but, you know, one of the things that's important, and this is something that gets to me too, you know, I listen to pundits and things like that, and I hear the glowing, how great everything is, and we get this tremendous growth and this, and I go back and I go, okay, great. So let me ask you a question, Jeff Sika. You've got the 16 largest, or the most widely held, 16 most widely held dividend stocks. Past 6 months, are they up or down?
Past 6 months are down.
Okay. And are they down a lot or a little, in your opinion? I don't know if you even look at this, but are they down a lot or a little, in your opinion?
A little.
Okay. The average is, just I want to give you a little stat that I play with, but the average is down 8% on average. Okay. You have two winners out of the entire group, one being Target up 6%, and the biggest loser is Walmart down 20%. Now, you tell me, okay, that you hear the champions talking up the market. You've got all these, I don't want to mention names, you get all these guys get on there every day and tell you how great all these things are, and yet the average guy, because we know, right, that the average guy is holding what, the 16 most widely held dividend stocks in their portfolio somewhere. So how are they doing throughout all this major rally? Not very well. And that goes back to your point that you have to be willing to be diversified. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know what, and being that I work with advisors, I mean, I've been, one of the reasons I've been so busy lately is I've been traveling the country with our different advisors that we work with. We have advisors all over the country, and a lot of what I would consider some of the best advisors in the world that we work with and spend a lot of time educating people on alternative investments. But what we're seeing, the number one question that I get asked is, what about alternative income? Now, what most advisors have done with our clients or have recommended their clients to do is buy dividend-paying stocks because they've been squeezed out of the bond market. The bond market is no longer open for investment. It just doesn't exist. I mean, one of my friends came out today with a buy on the 10-year treasury, and I said, you know, I understand why you're putting this buy out. I mean, obviously, you know, we get a flight to safety and 10-year treasury is going to move up. I get it, but you know, we're dealing with pennies when it comes to this at this point. I mean, your risk is immense, and you don't really have any real investors that are buying 10-year treasuries. Maybe the institutions are going to try to play a trade off of a quick turn, but you're not really getting that from individual investors. So individual investors are sitting with these dividend stocks, you know, and they're down 8%, and they're looking at their portfolios and saying, you know, what is my advisor doing to me? Well, unless you're trailing the momentum, you know, the momentum has become the name of the game, and you really think that you found the true income alternative in bond alternative in stocks. You know, I've said this, and actually this very high profile manager really disputed what I had to say on television, said he didn't understand it, and I said I called the dividend stocks bonds in disguise, because that's what they are. I mean, the people that are in these dividend paying stocks in unhedged positions are really asking for trouble, because they're not going to behave as they're used to in the bond market, the way the bond market has behaved historically, and you're going to see a lot of people run to the door at once, because they should have never been in those investments. And I see a lot of the advisors are, you know, an 8% decline is not a major catastrophic decline, but in the midst of a market where you can't turn on the television certain days and not see that we're at a record again in one of the indexes. So, you know, that's really where I'm focused now, is to getting advisors to get beyond that mindset that you got to be in dividend paying stocks. In the end, it's going to be a debacle.
Well, you know, that's my problem. See, that's why I hate I love dividend stocks. I'm a fan. When you're investing, I love investing in those things. I love to let the compounding start. However, if you're buying a dividend stock here and it pays, let's say it pays a good dividend, let's say it pays 5%. But the problem is if the equity, the underlying equity goes down 20%, how good is the 5% dividend? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. How about to you?
No, not at all. I mean, and that's what happens. And you know, we had a couple. You know, we met with the advisor, sent them in here, and they came in and they said, "Well, you know, we run all these dividend paying stocks, and we know, you know, that even though they're down, some of them are down or they're going to decline. We understand that there's potential of that happening, but all we got to do is wait it out." And you know, my response to the buy and hold mantra that's really, I believe, has been invented by the mutual fund industry, by the, you know, companies like my prior company that, you know, they had the big institutions that had a vested interest in keeping people invested through thick and thin. They invented this buy and hold, when in reality, no legendary investors, beyond, you know, some of the things that obviously Warren Buffett has done throughout the years, but we all know his strategy is not a strategy that an individual investor could mirror. To me, it makes absolutely no sense, because just because, you know, you're invested in these dividend stocks and they decline, you holding on to them doesn't mean they're going to come back. And even if they do come back, what is the lost opportunity cost for the amount of time that you've been holding them? Which is why what you're doing is so important. If that position is not hedged and all you're doing is running the clock and crossing your fingers, you're wasting your time. You're investing in a way that'll never get you ahead.
You are so right. Now that's the key, Jeff. And this is where this separates you above among the advisor world, because you get the point that it's not about sitting and holding and buying and holding. You know, I get it. You know, 30 years ago, I do get part of the buy and hold because the costs were so much higher to adjust. But now in today's world, if you're in the equity market and you're not 100% hedged against a major breakdown, because again, you can go back to Tulip Mania. It's going to happen. The only question is, when will it happen and how much will it damage it? And the real problem with the buy and hold strategy, if you're 62 or 63, okay, and you're counting on that money to be set aside for you and ready to retire, and the next thing you know, we've got the collapse when you're 64 and you have no money, do you have the time to wait for it to come back? I mean, that's a big issue, and people don't look at that as an issue. How about you?
Yeah, and you know what? That's what our central bank has created. They've created the 60 to 70 year olds, 80 year olds that really can't afford the volatility of the S&P 500, that are dealing with these levels of inflation. The government tells us there's no inflation, but the clients that I still handle, obviously I'm advising advisors now, so I'm not handling as many clients. The clients that I still handle are coming to me, and all they talk about is how much more everything costs. We had a couple in here, longtime clients, beautiful people, came in here and they want to help out their kids with their grandkids with college, and you know they don't know what college costs, so they asked me what college costs, and being that I have three teenagers that are right on the verge of college, I told them. And they almost fell off their seat. And they look at, and you have a lot of grandparents that are doing that, and the taxes, for whether it's property taxes, food costs, health care costs, I mean, they have to contend with these rising inflation in places that the government doesn't pay attention to, that the government just turns a blind eye to. And then they have to make these decisions about investing. And they need to grow their money. So the way that they're growing their money is they're putting it in investments that are appreciating for the moment. And everybody has this fear of missing out. I mean, to one extent or another, even the most disciplined investors in the world tend to have this fear periodically. But if you don't tame that fear of missing out, you're going to be stuck in a situation that you regret for the rest of your life. And when you get to those years, what I tell people is it's fine. If you want to ride out another bear market or another dramatic decline, if you have the time or the money to do that, and that's what you opt to do, then that's your decision. But in reality, why would anybody want to endure that when you can make some decisions now to protect yourself and be invested in such a way that you're not staying up all night worrying about what's happening in Greece? You're thinking more about how could I help my grandkids, or how could I enjoy the life that I've worked so hard to enjoy.
And this is Jeff. That's why I love Jeff Sika, CircleSquaredAlts.com. Love him on The Bubba Show. Love to get an honest perspective. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alts. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Orchestrated by...
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alts. 30 years in the business, one of the best. And when he was an advisor, he's one of the best advisors. Now that he's the advisor's advisor, he's even better. And again, I'm proud to know him and happy to deal with him. And, you know, Jeff, I look at complacency in the markets, and you know, I measured by watching the volatility index, and you know, everybody says, well, how volatility is flying right now, and of course we're still under 20% volatility, which is the 20-year moving average. But don't you find that people get very complacent in the markets, as well as the people that are managing their money. Don't you see a lot of complacency out there?
I see an unbelievable amount of complacency, and if there's ever been a time that I've been concerned about it, it's now. And we have a lot of our advisors. We're actually going to be opening up a new location in Santa Barbara, in beautiful Santa Barbara, California. Our advisors who've worked their whole life to build their business, and they have these tremendous relationships with their clients, and I had a great opportunity to meet a lot of those clients out in California and really get a sense of what they were about and what they worry about and what their dreams and goals are. And I was just completely overwhelmed with this sense of unity with some of the advisors that have really given up a lot of their life to provide for these clients. And the clients are, you know, the clients are at this stage where nothing could really go wrong. I mean, we can't, you know, the vulnerability is so great at this point. And what I'm finding with advisors and their clients is that the advisors that are diligent at this stage of the game, when the advisors, like Seth Klarman used to say, when it seems easy, that is when it is in fact the hardest to invest. Those advisors that I see that are really standing by their clients, they're introducing them to me, and we're talking about not where we are today, not what the S&P did yesterday, but we're talking about what's ahead, and we're talking about the pitfalls and the dangers. Now, granted, nobody likes to talk about negative things, and I don't believe it's talking about negative things. I mean, a good football coach or a good athlete will always look at the potential the potential negatives that their opponent, the potential strategies that their opponent might throw at them to throw them off base. And the one aspect that I think advisors and their investors, their clients, need to get past is this complacency. Because it's been easy, that should not be reasons to sit back. I mean, when we come into a holiday season and there's a lot of advisors that are going on vacation, that's all fine and good, and, you know, everybody should take vacations, but this is the time that advisors should be working very, very hard to really look at what's around the corner and position their investors accordingly. Because if they don't, they're going to be on the other end of that phone when their clients are going to tell them, why did you not reallocate me when you had the chance? You know, most investors, I'm not saying all investors, some investors are entirely too greedy to ever succeed as investors. But most investors are not going to be disappointed with their advisor if they change direction and hedge their portfolios and protect them. They're not going to be upset about it. They're going to be upset, way more upset, when the bottom falls out and they don't do anything about it. And if you look at the statistics, the percentage of advisors that act and preempt declines is minuscule, which is why I think the best advisors in the world are advisors that preempt declines by not trying to guess when the market is going to turn, but make those changes well in advance. And if an advisor and their clients have been lucky enough to make it this far into the cycle, it's time to make those changes now.
Well, no, I mean, Jeff, I mean, that's what, and I've learned, okay, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years as an independent trader. And I have learned that, you know, it's the fear that most don't understand. And I have found a couple out there that I've been doing a lot of consulting work for and teaching them these methods. And they're going crazy over it, because what they have found is that they still get to participate from the upside. But God forbid the opposite should happen. And you and I both know it's going to happen. Their clients are protected, and it allows them to sleep at night and benefit. And not only that, but with the methods that we've been teaching and that I've been putting together for some of these firms is not only can you protect the downside, not only can you still participate in the upside, but if you get the right play in the market, you can actually enhance the yield on top of everything else. So not only can you make more money, but you know one thing for sure, and if you've got $1 million, if the market collapses, you're still going to have $1 million, but you know what you're going to have now? More cash to go in and buy down at lows again versus puking yourself out and wondering what happened, what train just ran over you. And that's what I don't understand about advisors in general and people that recommend. You know, again, I talked about it earlier where they keep coming on and telling me how great everything is. And I go, no. I don't see it. Jobs suck. There's nothing good about the economy that I can see right now. The middle class is not participating. Retail sales are the worst since 2011. Job participation is the worst since 1977. When is it going to end? What do you think?
Well, I think we're very close to the end now. I mean, the fact is that if you were to look at the verbiage coming out of the Fed, whether the Fed acts, and now I believe wholeheartedly that they're not going to raise rates. I agree with you. I've always agreed with you on this. They're not going to raise rates this year, and now they have the Europe excuse. So when people say, well, why is the market not crashing on Greece? I said, because bad news is good news to this market. The more bad news comes out of Europe or China, the less likely that the Fed is going to be to raise interest rates. So that's been a supporting factor in this market. But the fact that they're talking about the necessity to raise rates is imperative for people to understand. If they're serious about it, and honestly, you're dealing with some of the most militant Keynesians that this world has ever known, and they may not be serious about it. I mean, I believe that there's probably a part of Janet Yellen that wishes she could continue to pump money into the system and keep rates low forever. I mean, there is a vulnerability that this artificial environment creates and these distorted asset prices create. I mean, we see it in the real estate world. I mean, I am heavily invested in real estate. And one of the reasons it's working is because of low borrowing costs. But we know because of these low borrowing costs, which we're taking advantage of at this point, we know that when it ends, it ends. We don't have to be in a position like a lot of stock investors are, where we have to endure these big sell-offs because we know what we're buying. We understand what we're buying. We know what the revenue is going to be from what we're buying. There's 100% transparency. So when you start to see that this support from the Fed evaporate, if the fundamentals don't catch up, it's going to end badly. And the fundamentals are not catching up. You mentioned the jobs report. I mean, if you look at a 5.3% unemployment, as they say we have, which is baloney, it makes it that it seems as if we're near full employment. The fact is, does anybody feel like this country is firing, this economy is firing on all cylinders? No, because we're not. And we're, not only are we not, but we're in a far worse situation than we were even 2 years ago because participation rate keeps dropping. So whatever gains that we've had or that we've been told we have are proving to be anemic at best and don't support the markets for where they're at. And what's going to happen, since this is a momentum market, what you're finding is that the momentum has been driven by the potential for lower interest rates. And there's people out there that it's as simple as this: if rates stay low, we stay invested. The minute rates start moving up, we get out. The problem is the smart money is already getting out or has gotten out. And who's going to be left holding the bag? The same people.
You always bring a great light. This has been my man, Jeff Sika from CirclesWordAlts.com. Sorry we ran out of time. We'll have to get him back on again now. He's forced to come back. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I was with Jeff Sika, CirclesWordAlts.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Talking about my
girl. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.